Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Previously on Chaotic Normal, the crew finally returned to Maloras Borealis with the magical ewer of the Ancient Ones in hand. After escaping a imperial camp with a new cleric who is someone not seaworthy, and the adventurer Darwin Nash joining the crew, they decided to head off towards the druidic grove known as the Azure Stand. But before they could do so, the rumblings of a mutiny on board the ship grew and grew and grew and finally came to a head. This is when the crew decided to confront the prisoner known as the Sparrow in their hold. As it turns out, the Sparrow was the mastermind behind the mutiny for quite a while. They brought him on deck, and now we find ourselves with me, the captain of Maloras Borealis, confronting the mutineers head on. But will it go the way we are planned, or will this mutiny finally come to fruition? Let us find out on Chaotic Normal, The Shattered Isles.
The rapier kind of swivels and wah, 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 wah. I need 2% or persuasion checks here from you. One of them is for the first point you made there, promise of fame and fortune, and then the second one is the call to action of ridding him. You've succeeded once, which means the final DC is going to be lower, but this one is basically to see if it's a very easy DC or if it's if it's gonna be easy or if you're gonna still be dealing with hard.
16 plus 10, 26.
Yeah, alright. The crew seems to be fully in support. They ignore the irony of the captain with the kelp about his neck claiming that the curse aboard this ship is the Sparrow. And let's see how well that argument works to them. And it's your DC is easy, so you're only actually looking for a 10 now.
On that one, I crit, so a 30.
The crew, you've changed their mind, and as the rapier stabs into the hull of Maloras Borealis and goes, woo, 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 that one sword noise, you know, the crew starts, almost angry chanting in their drunken, feasted, boisterous selves, shouting, yeah, the Mon Magi's the real curse aboard this ship. Yeah, he's a merchant scum. Someone else shouts, oh, I hear he sold his own mother. And a woman shouts out, I heard he sold his mother only to buy her back. Not only did he sell her, he did it as a market scheme. And as people start shouting out these different accusations about him, and you see their fickle moods turn, the whole of the crew seems to have their attitude shifted against the Sparrow. And as this kind of explodes out there, the Sparrow holds up his hand and says, please, crew, my good people of the Maloras Borealis, this gravitas, this showboating, weak, empty promises, just a moment now. And the crew is kind of too raucous for him to really get through to them. As he says, just Just listen to me. This... Hold on now, it's... He's offering you gold, but he doesn't have any gold to give. He's going to take you to the Azure Stand. The Azure Stand is haunted. The very waters of the Azure Stand are acid. They melt any boat that goes in it. They eat the corpses of men that die within it. You'll die if you go to the Azure Stand. You can't follow him. There's no gold there. Why would anyone bring gold to a place where everything dies? And his efforts are failing, faltering, as he's trying to shout over the crew. Used to having a quiet, calm, controlled room that he can speak in, he attempts with disadvantage to persuade them not to be on your side. First, he got a 25, so that wouldn't have worked anyways, and then got a 9, so he truly does not succeed. The crew ignores as the Sparrow Cuthbert attempts to negotiate, attempts to point holes in your logic. And so the Sparrow turns, searching the crowd for friendly faces, and he finds Phil's. Bosun! Officer! Bosun Phil! You know, we've talked frequently. I think that this man would make a much more splendid captain, don't you? Phil, please, please, get help, get control of your crew.
I look at Rubert and I look at Celeste, and like I imagine there's crew on both sides of me, and I just kind of like walk back into the crew. I don't say anything.
His eyes look desperately around. They fall on both other officers. Are there any friendly faces among you two?
No.
No? Celeste?
That's a no from me.
You know, Phil actually starts to move. Like, he walks back out of the crowd and starts to move towards Devil's Grin.
Okay. He then... Sparrow then looks towards Cyclops, and she says, "You dug your own grave, fancy man. I'm not fighting for you." Devil's Grin says, "I'd gladly have that captain's face cut right off. I'll still fight for you." And the Sparrow then looks towards Ruben and he says, "You wouldn't deny someone a champion, would you?"
"I would not."
And he breathes a sigh of deep relief because he is not skilled at swords. breathes a deep sigh of relief and takes a step back from the rapier. The sadistic torture murderer Devil's Grin, Langhorne Devil's Grin, steps out from the crowd. Or does he? Phil, you were sneaking up behind him.
Out of character, what do you want to do here, Rubert? Because I was just going to execute him.
Do whatever you want, man.
Well, that's another thing too. Like, how are we going to play this? Because if it's a matter of us entering combat, I'd rather have Rubert fight him because I think it's cooler. But if I can just outright execute him, I'll just kill him right here.
I want to duel this guy.
Yeah, let's let him duel him then. So it's like I literally have my hand on my pistol and then I I look over at Rubert and then I stop.
Rubert gives a slight shake no, and Langhorne Devil's Grin steps out. His hand touches the rapier. He yanks it from the wood, feels it heft, and says, "I prefer a maul. It breaks and bruises. You ever seen a face when it gets crushed by one? They don't die right away. It swells and grows. Nothing more beautiful in the whole fucking ocean."
All right, so Rubert will call out to one of the crew members that he sees holding a maul. Glabrit, would you toss this man your maul?
The crewman pauses for a moment and says, "But me mom gave me it."
"Don't worry, you'll get it back."
The crew around looks at him and says, "Give him the fucking maul. I want to see him break the cursed captain's face in. I bet you underneath it's all squids." And finally, Gelbrit pauses and hands the maul, or walks up and sets the maul down near Devil's Grin, but like isn't willing to get close to Devil's Grin with that scimitar or that rapier in hand. Devil's Grin tosses away the rapier and says, "A pathetic, weak little weapon." And he hoists up the maul, gripping it one hand in his strong arms, kind of rests it on his shoulder, cracks his neck, and says, "Feels real good to wield this again." And you see, he's strong enough that he can wield a, or at least big-handed enough, the monkey grip perk from 3.5, if you will, and he can wield a two-handed weapon with one hand.
Yes, fair, that's fair. That's fair.
The healer's upside down, Robert, don't forget. Whoa, it's on your side, but in a good way.
Whoa is on your side in a good way. So he has that resting on his shoulder and says, and there's a bit of a pause, a moment of breathing as the crew rapidly turns the shape of the deck from like tribunal into a fighting pit. Crates are dragged out, barrels of rum are rolled forward so people can gather on top. You hear Zelnern say, or someone saying, "Get out here, cook! There's gonna be a duel!" To which you hear Zelnern droning back, "No, I need to finish cooking. Just wait. Tell them to hold until end of the feast." They don't wait. That is my best Zelnern.
I might actually have to get him to record that.
Okay. So the crew comes gathering out, rapidly turning it into a fighting pit with cleared space. The two it's not all that much space. In fact, it's pretty much between the two masts on the Melora's Borealis, there is a central large grate in the ground covering the cargo deck below. This large metal grate has now had it's got big enough space between the holes that you can fit an arm through it, but you can still walk on top of it without problem. It's basically you have that maybe 15 foot by 15 foot space as your dueling arena. Not a lot of space to rush around with crew gathering in behind crates and barrels. The tight reach makes it to where daggers are a little better, but it also makes it to where those who are prone to dodging and weaving about aren't going to have much luck. Due to the nature of where the crew's kind of gathering around, it's pretty likely that a missed fire of a thrown dagger is going to sink itself into a crewman. Mm-hmm. But you have this few minutes where people are sort of getting ready. Robert, you're able to... get on your pirate's leathers once more if you'd like.
Yeah.
And when Devil's Grin is offered some armor, he balks it and says, "Fuck that. I want to feel the cuts." Meanwhile, Phil, I think you mentioned wanting to collect or make grog bets.
Yeah, I'm taking grog bets. Anyone, I got big bets on Robert. Give me a grog. Who are you betting on? Give me all the grog. I grab a big, I'm walking around with a wine barrel.
Somehow I have
a hand truck with a wine barrel. Pour your grog in. Everyone, pour your grog in.
So we're taking bets. You basically bet into the grog thing. Oh, and then if you bet on that person, you get to drink from the big grog. And if you
get to dip your mug back into it if you win. I'm running out of room in this thing. It's crazy. Everyone, come on, take your bets.
So those people are betting, or some people are betting on Robert, but a frighteningly large number are putting the bet on Devil's Grin. You won them over at least temporarily, but they're still at loyalty score zero. The outcome of this fight, if you handle it well, could give you 1d4 loyalty, making it where you have an actual functioning crew. But you can see a lot of them are betting against Robert, especially as they see Devil's Grin stretch out the maul at full arm's length, basically showing his immense strength. He's able to hold them all the way and then pulls it back in, and more grog gets dumped in saying, "Devil's Grin, Devil's Grin, Devil's Grin." But you also find those who are quickly endorsing Robert. Oh, there's no way he's gonna get him before he even gets before that maul's even hoisted up above his head. Or, yeah, I've seen him throw a dagger halfway across the ship deck just to kill a fly. And there's a lot of hype going on here for the fight.
I tell myself I'm trying to make sure who bets on Devil's Grin, but I'm too drunk to notice. But I try my hardest.
There's maybe a marking system. You get a shell versus a, I don't know, what's another thing you'd find on a ship in the ocean? Yeah, bottle cap. All right. And meanwhile, as Phil gathers these bets together, Jules and Celeste, you're by your captain's side, you know, as he's getting ready to maybe die. Do the two of you make any sort of preparations for him?
Yeah, I find a moment where we're in the middle of people, but if there's a moment where less people are looking, I reach over and I reach out to give Ruber a hug. Does he let me give him a hug?
Yeah.
And when I go in for the hug, I kind of pat him on the back, and there's a moment where I squeeze like really tight and I kind of mutter something under my breath. I'm going to cast Death Ward on him. And he feels kind of like a flutter in his chest as his heart starts to beat a little faster.
As you cast Death Ward on him, a pretty wonderful thing to have worked, though, as your magic, perhaps sourced from the sailor's devil, meets Ruber, now touched by the forces of the deep. There is a sudden flash, like touching one of the stones in Lord of the Rings, that flash of insight that almost hurls you back with its strength and almost visceral pain. You both capture an image of you, green fire on the sea with black depths below, a creature with eyes like a bug's scales, and a maw of infinite teeth opening wide as aboard a great ship, five-masted, all uncrewed by the damned, harpoons dig deep down in. It is a brief instant of this scene of death versus the depths. You pull apart, unsure of what you just felt.
Thank you, I think.
I that's not what I meant. I'm sorry.
No, you don't need me. I think I understand you more now.
I think I might understand you a little more, too.
And Celeste, you've got your Taroka deck. You could probably cheat pretty easily on this betting. And in fact, people are gathered around you trying to ask, what are the odds? Oh, who's going to win?
I'm like heckling the crowd. So I'm like, yeah, this guy over here, the sparrow, he's just a tempter. So it casts guidance on Ruber. And because I'm like drawing cards, I'm like, yeah, you see that? He might as well be a dead bishop because he's such a traitor. Like, don't listen to him. So that way, like, he keeps getting... Basically, I'm going to cast Bless.
Oh, wait. So you're casting guidance on Ruber throughout this fight by reading the future with your Taroka of, like, what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wait, so are you basically sports casting?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also, like, it's a mix of sports casting, but also, like, when you're in elementary school playing baseball and you're, like, taunting the other team, and you're like, we want a hitter, not a belly quitter, or whatever they say.
Okay, so you're, like, shouting, like, oh, look who's up, bring it in, they can't kick. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good bullying.
Yeah. But he thinks he's a diviner? Nah, he's too drunk for that.
All right. So as you have Celeste using the future to hurt people,
just Sparrow. You have unless Phil it's a good card, then it helps Ruber.
You have Phil potentially damning, betting Grog to see if his captain dies. You have Jules sitting there now contemplating what the hell that vision was, but having cast an assurance through the sailor's devil to protect the captain. And then you have the captain finds himself for a brief moment alone. Any last thoughts, Captain?
No. Ruber feels very confident in himself right now. Like, finally a chance to, like, really prove himself in front of the crew. And he's just kind of, like, swinging his scimitar back and forth and, like, swinging around his finger, like, tossing it and, like, catching it.
You see eventually you see as Devil's Grin, who's been in conversation or conference with the Sparrow. The Sparrow talking clearly, you know, imploring him like, hey, don't die. And then Devil's Grin being like, oh, this fucker, he'll never be able to. He then turns, shouts out towards you, says, oi, Captain! You ready to get your face smashed in? Don't worry, I'll start with your elbows so you can still see what I'm doing to you.
Yes, do what you must. I'm glad you have a last few moments to spend time with a mall.
Hey, Devil's Grin. Your mother was a miser.
It hurts because it's true.
That's only...
It's probably why you had to come out here, huh?
She was just really precious with her coin. She grew up during the recession.
We all did, buddy.
Devil's Grin sneers in anger, and you feel yourself gain that boost of guidance. In fact, you will have that guidance for the initiative check you'll need to make here. But Robert, you and Devil's Grin are making initiative checks.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, and because you have the rapier of awareness or whatever, the sword of awareness, yeah.
Scimitar of warning.
Scimitar of warning, yeah. Devil's Grin gets a 9 to Rubert's. Was that 20? Is that what I heard?
20, yes.
So clearly you have the upper hand. And you are first to go. You two clearly have moved towards each other. Devil's Grin is already hoisting up the maul with one hand. And you actually notice as you're getting close to him, kind of closing the gap, that his left hand has a bandage wrapped around it that you didn't see earlier. Clearly, while all these other preparations were going on, somebody did something, or put a bandage wrapped tightly around his arm. Around his left fist. And he is coming towards you. What do you do, Robert?
I'm just gonna, before he can open his eyes, I'm right up next to him, and my hand touches his chest, and I'm gonna cast Bestow Curse on him.
Fuck. All right, and he's a save against that, right?
Yes. DC 15 Wisdom saving throw.
Oh, he's not very wise. Got a plus 0. 25% chance. Does a 13 count as a 15? I'll leave it up to the group's discretion.
Not in this case.
Okay, from now on...
Do you want guidance?
So he struggles against it, feels the touch of the deep entering him. What happens to him as a result?
Suddenly, the kelp disappears from my neck and appears around his neck.
Oh.
How do you use the kelp?
He has... Oh, fuck. What ability score do I want to give him disadvantage on?
Strength and dex are usually the best.
Yeah, I'm going to give him disadvantage on dex ability checks and saves. He also has disadvantage on all attacks against me. And... can make the saving throw at the start of each of his turns and I deal an extra 1d8 necrotic damage to him while it's in effect.
Oh, while cursed, the target must make a wisdom saving throw at the start of each of its turns. If it fails, it wastes its action that turn doing nothing.
Yes.
Did they change the spell?
Nope.
I swear to God, it did something different before. Yeah, no, it used to have a whole bunch of like different curses, like vulnerability and stuff.
It's just on him now. He doesn't get to save against this spell anymore. It's just affecting him a minute.
So this is me suffering from playing 5th from when it first came out. They errated this spell entirely. It's no longer what it used to be. It used to be they save against it, and then you pick one of like 5 different effects, and you can also choose your own effects, but it was like you could grant them vulnerability, but then they get a save gate against being vulnerable to all damage. Wow, now it's just they're locked up on their action, or
you choose from the following options. I'm going to choose that one.
Oh,
that
okay.
This turn doing nothing.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Those are better than what was before. This spell got changed. Wow, this game is evolving.
So yeah, while cursed, do I want the disadvantage against me or saving throw doing nothing? I'm going to do the saving throw doing nothing. So yeah, he has to make a save at this, a wisdom save at the start of his turn. If he doesn't make it, he wastes that turn doing nothing.
All right, so you reach out and the tentacle disappears from you, almost slides across your wrist and wraps, or like the it almost like a tentacle. The kelp wraps itself around his neck like a noose, and as it does so, your gills are sort of flaring on display for all to see. As you bestow this curse of the deep on him, and he feels the kelp choking about his neck, grabbing at it with one hand, and that was your action.
I'll look into his eyes and say, "Who's the cursed one now?"
He struggles against it and tries desperately to resist. He got an 8. So he stumbles back, choking on it, and he cannot take an action. He stumbles backwards, staggering against this, leaving himself vulnerable. The whole crew is looking up in shock and terror. What do you do?
I'm going to attack him.
And Celeste, what's your sports cast at this point?
I run up behind Phil, knowing that he'll join me on this chant. I like elbow Phil, and I'm like Myrmidon, Myrmidon, Myrmidon.
Does that mean like water warrior? What's it a Myrmidon? Means
great hero.
Myrmidon, 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 Myrmidon. All right, start.
You'll get it.
I'm almost ready. Go one more time.
Robert, amongst the chant of Myrmidon that replaces the muttering of fear, you gain guidance. What would you like to do? You're moving up to stab.
Yeah, I'm still right up next to it. I'm just gonna.
Make sure to do a cool pose while you do it.
Kick his ass, boss! I fucking love you.
24 to hit.
It easily hits him. He even throws up his mace to parry, but he cannot break, or his maul to parry, but cannot break your blow. You cut easily underneath it. A cut under that rakes across his chest. He staggers back from the worst of it, but could not dodge all of it. Roll damage.
All right, I'm also going to add a defensive flourish to add a d8 damage to this.
Damn!
That's going to be 3 plus 3, 6 slashing damage with an extra 6, and my AC is increased by 6. So 12 slashing damage total. And then I'm going to attack again.
12 slashing damage. So he stumbles back, sliced.
This time only 12 to hit.
12 to hit. Not a hit. He has plus 2 to plus 2 to his dex. He dodges by that as your blade cuts by, coughing and choking on the kelp. I keep wanting to call it tentacle, or I keep wanting to say tentakelp, so I will say tentakelp from now on. On the tentakelp wrapped around his neck, he stumbles, choking on it, but your blade still doesn't manage to cut him. It tears open the, like, prisoner's garb he was wearing. Choking and coughing, he grabs the kelp, trying to get it off, and this time I rolled a 19, so he does get a turn this, or an action this turn. Does that end the spell?
No.
Dear gosh. So he pulls it loose enough, and you see it already retightening, but it's enough time for him to grab air, and he snarls at you and says, "You fucking deep one piece of shit!" He hauls up the maul and one-handed, like, overhand, chops down onto you in a thunderous, terrible fury of berserker's wrath. I rolled a 19 plus 5.
Yeah, 24. That'll be a hit.
So even with your defensive flourish, it crashes down on top of you, and you feel the weight of this maul crushing down at you. To your horror, you should not have given him a maul, because he has the thing where he doubles the dice damage trait that some monsters have. So if I give him a maul, you upgraded him from a D8, 2D8 to 4D6. 1 plus 5 plus 2, 7. Wow, I rolled terrible. I rolled 2 ones, a 2, and a 5. So that is 8 damage on 4d6, plus his strength mod of 3. So it's 11 damage as it crushes down onto you, slamming for a terrible blow. You stumble back, and then he rips his left hand around, punching towards you. And as it comes towards you with those bandages wrapped around it, you see it is oily with some sort of secretion or something on it, and he cracks across your face with that fist in a whirl of anger. This time I rolled an 18 plus 5, so 23.
Still a hit.
This one cracks across your jaw, and as it touches into you, you feel a sick, horrible feeling overwhelm you as the crawler mucus that coated this bandage gets all across your face and starts inking into your skin. You do take 3 bludgeoning, but also you need to make a DC 13 con save or else be poisoned for a minute.
Shit. 15.
You stumble back, the poison aching in your body, but you are not poisoned by the crawler mucus, which, note, also paralyzes you. So you topple to the ground, and he shakes the wrap off, careful to not get any on himself. It clearly spent of its one valuable use. The wrap falls to the ground, and he snarls and says, "Tough son of a bitch, aren't ya?" And then it is your go.
I'll, like, spit some blood on the ground and pull myself up to my feet and, like, whip my scimitar around. Well, we'll see. And then I'll slash across his chest again. That one's going to be 16 to hit.
That is a hit.
I'd use a defensive flourish again. So that's going to be 6 plus 8. So 14 slashing damage, and my AC is increased by 8.
That is a solid cut. He stumbles back, the blood welling now from where the wound. The first one just shredded his clothing, but this one, blood wells from it. He grits his teeth and says, "Ah, what a fucking good cut!" But he is not mortally wounded yet.
And then 19 to hit. So
that's a hit.
Then jump and then, like, stab down into his shoulder. 4. That's just 8 slashing damage.
He dodges the worst of it, but you cut across his back as he, like, slips inside of the blow, pushing his face, like, smashing it up against yours. He stumbles back.
Wheel back and, like, flick the blade between my fingers and splash some of the blood against my own, and I'll cast a second level healing word on myself.
It's fucking dope.
As, like, the blood singes off and, like, burns into mine and, like, sears them closed.
He stumbles back bloodied, but did the curse hold? Make a, because you were supposed to make a constitution saving throw, or a concentration save when he damaged you. DC 10.
Failed.
You realize when he slipped past you, The kelp actually leapt from his neck, coiling back around yours. He stumbles out, and you see that he is free of that. A tainted, horrific-looking mark. Basically, he has, like, drowned man's flesh now, where the kelp was touching. And he stumbles back, grabbing at his neck. He says, "Oh, you cursed creature. Oh." And meanwhile, in the crowd, you hear a lot of people muttering, saying, "I think, look at that, he's using dark magic on him." And you see that there's some attention turning back to Rubert's actions there. You're at risk of the crew being frightened of Rubert, so frightened that they might give support over to Devil's Grin, hoping that Devil's Grin wins. Does anyone in the crew divert from their current actions to try and quell that?
I'll keep shouting in the crowd, but instead of casting guidance this time, as I'm like calling out Devil's Grin and being like, "Your mother's a miser, you're just a lowly beggar, only beggars cheat, look at you crying for help," I'm actually going to use my cosmic omen for the second time, so that way any next, I think it's attack or saving throw, has a decrease in it.
Can I start kind of like just edging my way through the crowd to the sparrow, so I'm a little bit closer to him?
Sounds good. And Jules, do you try to get the crew back to Robert's side, or do you let them slip into chanting for Devil's Grin?
I'm kind of just actually focused on the match, getting ready to cast a spell if I need to.
All right. Well, Devil's Grin stumbles back free of the curse, the crew on edge for muttering for him. Yeah, he's still got an open fist and then a maul in the other hand. And hoisting the maul, he says, "I don't give a fuck about these cuts," his blood seeping down his chest, and says, "I'm gonna break those arms of yours, smash in your knees, and then break every little toe and bone in your body one by one!" And he charges back into you, swinging the maul wildly in a great arc. It comes crushing towards you. I rolled a 6 this time, so for a 13 to hit.
Miss, as I kind of just like glance it into the deck of the ship.
Yeah, like this massive strength of it, you deflect it like a little bit enough that it slams down, hits a bowl, or hits the grate you're both standing on that covers the cargo deck below. And in fact, the strength of it hits that cargo deck, or it hits that grate so much that the whole thing shudders. Both of you need to make a dexterity saving throw to not topple to the ground.
15.
You got a 5. The grate kind of leaps up. You hop off of the grate, landing on the other side, while he topples down, falling below into the cargo hold beneath you. The grate's sort of like off its side, and there's a hole leading down into the cargo deck below, about 10 feet down, where Devil's Grin is just toppled down to, taking 6 bludgeoning damage as he hit. Not a good turn for him. And as he lays down there groaning, the crew starts muttering better and saying, "He used a dark enchantment on him. He's dragging him down into the depths just as we speak. There's going to be a kraken boring up through the ship any minute now." And the crew seems to be thoroughly on Devil's Grin's frightened side, giving him their support, at least so far in this fight. What do you do, Rubert? The Devil's Grin's down in the cargo hold beneath the broken grate about 10 feet below you.
I'm not finished with you yet, and I'm gonna cast Lightning Lure on him.
Oh, fuck.
To pull him up towards me.
Alright, an arc of the Storm God's own power tears from the sky.
It's a tentacle that wraps around him and shocks his nervous system and pulls him up.
A jellyfish tentacle, like a cartoon jellyfish tentacle.
Needs to make a DC 15 strength save.
He's good at these. This is the one thing he can do well. He has a 3 plus his normal 2, 19. He got a 26. The tentacle yanks around him. It shocks. Does it damage anyways?
Nope.
Oh, wow. He rolls away from it as it crashes, tearing at the wood down there. And shouts, "What the fuck is that?"
That's my turn.
Celeste, do you cast another guidance? What's your commentary?
I mean, you know, that one kind of freaked me out a bit. So I just kind of am, like, looking at my cards, at the one I just drew, and I look back at Ruber and the like weird fucking jellyfish tentacle, and I can't really say anything. I do nothing.
That's fair. From down below deck, Devil's Grin, having pulled himself to his feet, having dodged the lightning lure, looks up and, you know, looks at what's around him, and he says, "You, why don't you come down here and face me?" And it's clear he can't really get up other than by climbing up the grate. "Come down here and face me!"
All right, fine. If you want to come up here, I'll fight you down there.
You see him grabbing up a spool of rope, which he then starts spinning as though it's a, as though it's basically like a, what is that weapon that's the rope, or like the chain with the dagger at the end. Basically, he's spinning it like that as something to whip and crack out at you, giving him a secondary weapon. He's still got the maul gripped in the other hand, and you can't believe the strength of this man. And he is clearly readying an action, though, for you dropping down. What do you do, Ruber?
I mean, I'm going to jump down. I can't ignore the challenge.
You jump down straight into the striking force of his maul as he crashes, or sorry, exit of his maul, of that rope whipping around. It strikes up into you for, goddamn, for 10 to hit.
It's a miss. He throws it up at me, and I just cut it to the. Actually, it goes up past me, and I cut the rope, and the dagger just goes soaring up into the air.
Love it. And then, the bit of rope just kind of trails off, spooling up on deck for the bosun to see as his fine ropes are being cut. You land, though, next to Devil's Grin, his energy spent throwing or trying to smack you with that rope, leaving him fully vulnerable and open to you.
I'm gonna attack him. Oh, come on. Finish rolling. That's just going to be an 8 to hit.
He sidesteps that. It cuts against the air.
Second attack. That's going to be 17 to hit.
That one cuts down in stabbing into Devil's Grin.
Defensive flourish again. That's going to be 7 plus 7, 14 slashing damage.
Devil's Grin stumbles back as your, this is your scimitar, right?
Yes.
The scimitar has stabbed into him. Chunked into him, slicing at his side, and it's lodged in at Devil's Grin's hip. You feel it moving, grinding against the bone. It is firmly lodged inside his hip, and he lets loose a horrific scream. Terrible pain, blood splurting out past it, showering the inside of this cargo deck. It is clear that you've just dealt a fatal blow to Devil's Grin. And yet the sadistic madman screams and holds on. Ah! He roars, sounding more orc than man.
Yeah, I'll leave the scimitar in his side. And then I'll then pull a dagger out and ready for whatever he's got next.
And what is about to come is a tearing, vicious blow. Is in so much pain, he's dropped the ball, the rope is dropped, and he tackles you to the ground. See if you can beat a 22 acrobatics check.
I have to get an 18.
I'm sorry, 24, because I forgot to add his proficiency.
I got a 20.
He bears you to the ground. Up above, you see as the crew, shrouded in the moonlight of Melora's sister, Sehanin, they crowd in overhead, looking down in as this dying, blood-covered madman falls on top of their captain and digs his teeth into the side of your face in a vicious, terrible, painful bite for 18 to hit.
That's a miss with my
defensive flourish.
He goes to bite down on my neck, and I put the dagger in between his teeth.
It slices in there, cutting open the mouth, blood showering down, and you see the anger and hate in his eyes as they begin to grow gray. And then you see the man die, resting, bleeding out on top of you.
I'm going to use a green flame blade and just, sear his head in half.
Fucking dope.
With the dagger.
It's fucking dope.
This green eldritch flame that I saw earlier with Jules' vision sears through his head.
The eldritch fire burns across, and the crew looks down in awe. You have successfully intimidated the crew into loyalty. Go ahead, someone, and roll a 1d4 to see how much loyalty you've just gained for the crew.
Let's go, Captain.
I'll let Robert, since you're the one that did the did the murder.
Three.
It is not ruling through love that you've just won them over. It is sheer terror that now holds the crew in line. They look over towards the sparrow and then look towards the officers as it, like, wondering, begging for any sort of instruction, any sort of way that they can be seen as not on the mutineers' side.
As I remember, I was moving towards the sparrow and I get up behind him and I grab him by the wrist. He looks with me, just... you sexy bitch. Okay, let me workshop that. You gotta come with me, buddy.
Oh, so did you sneak away with the sparrow mid-fight?
No. I'm gonna bring him towards your bear now.
Right, he for but a it's moment, like,
you know, I'm trying to be the middleman since he's obviously wooed me.
Yeah. He looks at you as at first thinking, yeah, we can escape now. Well, he's down in the hold. We can take the naughty dreams. It's easy to lower it. You shot it before. Phil, I have a fortune in the Ancien Chapelle. I can take you there. We can go to Zilcomnes. I have a fortune. I'll give it all to you. Every coin of it.
God damn it, I want to quit you. Come with me. I grab him by the wrist.
You drag him before the captain?
Yeah.
Captain, you climb your way out of the hold back onto deck, covered in devil's grins blood. There is a sinister writhing in the kelp about your neck.
As I'm wiping the blood off my blade with my red cloak.
I walk up next to Jules and I like whisper to Jules, I'm like, we should have just given them a pizza party.
Yeah, I'm I take this as a personal failing. This has gone too far.
Just an HR concern. The sparrow is brought before his tribunal of the officers of Melora's Borealis. Captain Robert, Bosun Phil, navigator / quartermaster Celeste, and first mate Jules, as well as ship's cook Zelnern, who is still in the kitchen finishing up that buffet, unwilling to leave before it's ready.
Well, Sparrow, are you satisfied with your champion's performance?
Oh, yeah. And you see he's clearly rattled, and he tries to compose himself, and... I was just telling Bosun Phil of... I have... quite a fortune in Zilcomnes. I'm willing to part with all of it, for the Melora's Borealis to just give me safe passage back to my home city.
Back to Zilcomnes, huh? Well, we'll have to ask your friends who, if you have any, are still there. Phil, would you escort this man to the plank?
Aye, Captain.
In this moment, the sparrow breaks. You see tears break down on his face. All of his composure fails, and he shouts, No, you don't want to do this, you don't! He grabs for Phil's firearm, snatching it, or attempting to snatch it from your side. Phil, I need you to make a... what's your AC as he is attempting to steal an item off your person? He crit, actually. He snatches your arcane firearm off of your belt, grabbing it and brandishing it about wildly at everyone.
As soon as I have an initiative,
you do that.
Reach, I reach out my hand and squeeze it into a fist and cast Hold Person on him. Keep yourself together.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Fuck, you got a 4. He is paralyzed. The gun drops from his hand, and he stands there paralyzed before the crew as the red veins pulse on Jules' forearm. Do you drag...
I look to the captain. He's at your disposal, captain.
Yeah, I'll... While he's paralyzed, I'll push him in the water myself.
You drag him to the bosun, or to the like gunwale edge of the boat. There's a moment where you see his paralyzed eyes are flickering back and forth. You can almost hear a low humming as his body desperately is trying to beg, to plead, to negotiate some deal, to make some trade. He's never before met a deal he couldn't make. You shove with your hand. He topples over the gunwale, and paralyzed, the Sparrow Cuthbert topples into the midnight black seas, disappearing down beneath them, with the moonlight leaving a broken reflection on the water.
All right, winners, line up, single file, get your grog. Come on down. Come on down.
Tears are streaming down my face.
The bosun's call for grog draws in or breaks the tension, the fear in the crew. A familiar action is available to them, drinking grog. The losers sink back, not wanting to be seen as having not voted for Robert, and having not supported Robert, not after that display of terror. By the time the sun rises, you've gotten some rest, some drink, some sleep. I assume you sent Cyclop back to the brig?
Oh, yes.
Cyclop is back to the brig, and and by the time you rise, all mention and whisper of mutiny are gone. There's no more worry about, yeah, we refuse to step foot on the Azure Stand. There's no more claims of there better be gold at the Azure Stand. There's simply mentions of, yes, sir, of course, sir. Can't wait for the Azure Stand, sir.
I announced to the crew that I'll be holding office hours today, and I'd like to speak with everybody individually. And okay. I tell them that I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Classic stepdad.
And then next time, I hope they'll come to me sooner.
Around, I guess, just dawn, Zelnern comes out ready with the buffet.
Where's Amory? How's he doing?
You find Amory frightened and scared of Robert. You actually find him hiding in the bunks and says, Is he gonna get us too?
I try to comfort him and I'm like, don't worry about it, Amory. Here, come on, let's go look at some stars. See what's gonna happen. You'll be safe in my navigation room.
As you talk with with Amory in the navigation room, it becomes clear that this 12-year-old having the ship torn out from underneath him by a kraken at age 12 is very traumatized by having the ship torn out from underneath him by a kraken. So seeing similar eldritch deep powers coming from his ship's captain feels quite unnerving for young Amory.
I try to convince myself and Amory that because Robert has 4 other officers who are not kelped, we should be fine.
I'll let you attempt to fail a DC 10 wisdom saving throw to successfully convince yourself of the non-kelp value. That's right. Fail a DC 10 wisdom. Yeah.
It's not great because I have great wisdom. Got 16.
You are too wise to buy into your own lies. Amory, however, seems comforted by them.
That's nice. At least he is, I guess.
This one goes out to all the chaotic normies out there. Thanks so much for listening. Don't be scared to rate, review, like, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your casts. But yeah, thanks again. Thanks once again for listening. Any questions, concerns, comments, email those to chaoticnormalpod@gmail.com, as well as any of your homemade lemonade recipes. Sometimes I forget how to do it, so it would be great to just check my email and be like, oh yeah, that's how you do it. But yeah, no new announcements, just checking in on everyone. And yeah, I'll talk to y'all in a couple weeks. So until then, yeah, let me hear everyone at once. 1, 2, 3, bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.